Last Mass, I took offense at him putting the step here. But then I discovered that it gave me a sense of power. And so I would like to harness that once again, as it allows me to pound, to lean like this. Much more authoritative. So I think you'll find throughout this homily that you will be so moved. You will be compelled to take in every word that I say and end up just totally on cloud nine, filled with grace and truth. This is the first time I had to move the mic up. So we begin this weekend Catholic Schools Week, which, as I mentioned at last Mass, looks like it'll end up being Catholic School Cancellation Week, but we can still talk about Catholic education in general, talk about the ideal of what Catholic education is, to recognize some of the shortcomings that we've had in the past as Catholic schools, but also to give greater confidence that the mission we are trying to accomplish in our diocese, and in particular here at our school, Light of Christ Academy, we're trying to reach the fullness of authentic Catholic education, and in particular, in our case, classical education, which we'll talk about in a bit. But I want to talk about how Catholic education works. What's the method by which it's supposed to work? What's the ideal method or process of education? Well, I think we can all look around and see that one thing our world needs are more people, in particular more young people, that are able to think well, to think critically, to think for themselves, to analyze, and to be able to communicate truth well in an eloquent fashion, in an articulate way. And that's because we as Catholics see our mind and our ability to speak, our speech, as gifts from God, not just things that we can do, but actually gifts from God that need to be perfected. So we're not just there to impart information or deliver information like putting mail in a mailbox or anything like that, but actually to take in truth, to be able to perfect the mind and perfect the ability to communicate, because that's super important when you go out into the world, not just for practical purposes, but also to evangelize, to be able to stand up for things, right? If we don't know how to think and how to communicate, then we get what we have out in the world right now, right? Mostly just emotional responses to things. Not any cool, rational discussions, but mostly just attacks, personal attacks, emotional reactions, and anger and bitterness and things like this. So we need to perfect those abilities of how to read, how to think, how to speak eloquently. And we do that through the study of, you know, grammar and logic and rhetoric, how to speak beautifully about things and to speak with charity about things. And then the what of Catholic education, I think, is something that makes us different too, because, again, we're not just imparting information. We are doing that. Don't worry. Okay, they are getting information. But what we're actually trying to do beyond that is to fill their minds and their hearts with noble ideas, not just practical ideas. Those are important and helpful, and we do that as well. But we look for nobility of information, right? Transcendent ideas, because that's what makes us noble people. That's what gives us a noble soul, noble thoughts. We study what is true, what is good, what is beautiful. We give confidence to our young people that there are things out there that are universally and unchangingly true, and that those things can be known. And the information that we give, or that truth that we try to impart to them, is not piecemeal, right? It's not just this subject isolated from that subject, isolated from this subject. But because truth, capital T truth, is ultimately one, truth is God himself, then our educational endeavor, our educational adventure should reflect that by integrating all of the subjects together. For example, in studying science, you know, we can look at the processes and the cycles that we see in nature and admire the wisdom of God in that. Not just see the practical purpose of it, but to see the beauty of God's design and creation. Similarly, in studying math, not just studying how to compute and how to solve problems and things like this, which are important things to do, but also to see God's wisdom and the elegance of mathematics and how it's reflected in the world, in our physical laws. In studying history, not just to study events, but to actually look at those events and discern God's providence working throughout history. The same for all the other subjects, you know, art and language and theology, of course, in the most obvious way. But to show that all truth is at the end of the road connected as one thing, and that one thing is God himself. So that's the approach we try to take, and we're trying to perfect more and more as the weeks and the months and the years go on, perfect here at our school. And I absolutely understand that many people in the past, in looking at schools, have looked at our Catholic schools and said, there's not really enough different here to justify paying rather than not paying. Public school education is excellent, especially in our area, excellent teachers. So why would I forfeit all this money when Catholic identity isn't even as strong and the academics are not that much different? Well, I think that's a valid criticism in the past. I think it's absolutely justified. But on this Catholic Schools Week, I would just pray and ask humbly of all of you to reevaluate that. Because I know here in particular, on the most personal level, we're trying to make sure our Catholic identity is the one thing we focus on more than anything else. But also, we are trying to perfect our academics according to the model that I just kind of laid out for you, to produce students that are good citizens, that are ladies and gentlemen, that can think and can articulate their thoughts and can speak humbly and charitably and eloquently and can do that out in the world, a world that very much needs that that skill set, if you want to call it that. And then, of course, to do all of that under the guidance of God's grace and trying to instill a regular prayer life, trying to instill pursuit of virtue, of excellence, not just academically, but also morally. That's the game plan. That's the what of Catholic education. And then the why, of course, should be obvious. The final goal, the final end of Catholic education is eternal life, preparing children for eternal life. Not just for being successful in the workplace, successful in their careers. That is a nice, very nice byproduct of the aim of Catholic education. But it is not the final aim. In pursuing eternal life, the byproduct is you have a different perspective on the things of this life. You put them in their proper order. You put them in their proper list and priority. And in pursuing eternal life and pursuing excellence, you actually do achieve worldly excellence as well, even though that's not your final goal. So it's kind of a catch-all. The goal of Catholic education shoots far beyond any kind of earthly success, but also includes that earthly success because it's aimed at trying to perfect those things in us that are gifts from God, trying to perfect my mind and my will and my ability to communicate, not just to be successful in school later on, to be successful in my career, to advance in my career, but because they are gifts from God, because my mind is there to know God more and to know him through those things that I study in this world, that my will is there not just to cling to God, but to actually form itself by God's grace according to those unchangeable truths that we perceive in the world, those truths given by God in his revelation and in what we perceive in nature and in what we perceive in our conscience. To have students that have an unwavering sense of stable foundational truths, both intellectually and morally, is exactly what our world needs. I think at this point in the homily, you can appreciate how much this stool is helping me with my hand gestures and things like this. Much more eloquent like this. Okay, but this is really true. It's really what we need. Our students that not only appreciate practical truths, but also eternal truths, and are convinced that there are stable truths, instead of being told by the culture around us that there is no stable truth, that they're kind of adrift in a sea that changes from day to day, minute to minute, year to year, with what's true and what's false, what's good and what's evil. It's constantly changing. And we can see that again, just looking at the news. In the entertainment industry, in pop culture, in social media, news, politics, all of that. It's just this constant, fluid changing of what's good and what's not, what's acceptable, what's unacceptable. And unless we instill in our children some kind of anchoring in reality, some kind of anchor in virtue and truth and goodness and what is really good, what is really true, what is really beautiful, and that those things don't change, that virtue is good for its own sake because it helps us pursue God, that's the kind of student we intend to produce. That's the kind of student we hope to form. And of course, none of this can be done without God's grace and without the primary means of formation, which is at home with you parents. So Catholic education sees itself as an assistant to formation that parents provide. So we thank you for entrusting your children to us at our school or at other Catholic schools. We thank you for your support of Catholic schools, financially and otherwise. And I challenge you also to consider maybe reevaluating, rethinking the importance of Catholic education in the life of your children, your students.